across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, July 25th, 2024. It's another beautiful morning to have you up here, up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or through the app, watching us on social media or listening by podcast. Thanks for taking us along on your day. I've got a question for you. Is it Friday yet? thanks to breaking news on Sunday, this has felt like the slowest week ever. And in fact, I almost thought it was Friday because I was, you know, planning to go to the Brewers game on Friday. And then I see Greg Bach in his Brewers jersey shirt today. And I thought, oh my God, is it Friday? Do I have to hit the road today?
Yeah.
No, he's just appropriately dressed to support the hometown team.
Heck yeah, always here for the Brewers. So you are going on Friday?
I think so.
Folks, did you hear that deep?
Well,
this plan has gone in several different directions here. Not the least of which, the latest wrinkle that Mr. Bach doesn't even know about is my car might not be working adequately to make the trip. I have to take that in today to have something looked at. But my original intention to be at Yacht Rock. Hang on, I got the Yacht Rock hat over here for folks watching on social media. Here we go. I got the captain's hat. Here we go. So I was all set for, you know, Yacht Rock night at the Brewers game. So if I can make it down,
okay.
The question is whether some of these radio folks are going to come along as well. And I am between, was it German Fest, the Harley weekend,
oh, yeah.
There's EAA, there's all kinds of stuff
there's
going on here.
Air and water show in Milwaukee, I think, happening too.
Yes.
Like there's so many planes.
This is like the weekend. So the deal was that, you know, we'll see, you know, which radio folks want to come along because we don't get together very often. We're
no.
in very different parts of the state. And then we said, well, you know, and then whatever tickets we have left over, we'll give them away. And I thought we might do that today, but the way it's looking is that's going to happen tomorrow because I'm still working on a headcount, including for myself. So we'll see. We'll see. That's kind of how this thing is working out. I am so thankful to Sherry for planning that birthday party for me. She did all the work and we had this nice turnout because it turns out when I try to plan something, it just goes kittywampus. And so we'll just see how tomorrow goes.
But.
Mm-hmm.
You planned it with the best of intentions. You were the one who put this together. You wanted to go to the game and like hang out. So that is most appreciated.
Oh,
I want you to know that. And I would like to go to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to get confirmation. Now Pat and I are just talking to each other.
Yeah, we'll be back to you guys in a moment.
Real radio. As long as I know there'd be like three or four people, I'll be good. But I don't really want to just like.
You don't want to go with just me. I get it.
Shut up.
I understand.
Shut up.
That's okay.
Shut up.
Would it help knowing that we have a late confirmation from the capable and handsome Mr. Luke Mathers?
Is he going?
Yes, he's going.
I'm going.
Okay, well there you go. We have a date. we've got a couple of other folks. I don't know if they wanted us to say that they're, but yeah, there will be some folks there, and then we may have some tickets to give away tomorrow.
George Clooney might be there.
I don't know. I don't know about him. He might be laying low for a little while here. But here's the number to keep in mind for today's show and maybe for ticket giveaways tomorrow, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. Coming up on the program today, did you know, Greg Bach, that Eric Hovde is not only a U.S. Senate candidate, but he's also a life coach?
Oh, great.
I didn't know it was coming, but there's a video in his social media feed. It says, "Hi, welcome to the first of my series of videos on happiness," or something like that. I'm like, really? That's what we're doing now?
Oh my God. Yes, Eric, sit me down and tell me your version of happiness. Because if it involves a private plane, a beach view, and you know, money you can swim in like Scrooge McDuck, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, so we'll play a couple of clips right before we bring Joe Zepecki in at the bottom of the hour, and we'll talk a bit about Eric Hovde, life coach, who, by the way, his top advice, just a spoiler alert, be more grateful, you people. You don't need my millions to be grateful. So there you go. We will, of course, talk about President Biden's address from the Oval Office. And we will contrast it with remarks made by former President Donald Trump at his campaign rally last night in the Carolinas. And if there weren't two very different versions of America right there in front of you, I don't know what else would demonstrate it. We will also talk to State Representative Melissa Ratcliffe, who would like to be State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe. She's running for a seat in the Senate, and she will be part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment as she talks about her run for a seat to be in what I call it the South Wing. None of you know. I mean, you all heard of the West Wing.
Yeah.
Well, in the state capitol, the West Wing is where the Assembly is. The South Wing is where the Senate is. But anyway, we're getting way too in the weeds now.
I just pre-ordered a book about the West Wing written by two of the cast members.
Yeah.
Ooh, like an oral history thing?
I think so, yeah. I'm just excited. Very excited.
That would be awesome. Let's talk a little sports now, and then we'll play some clips from the president's speech here, because the Brewers, I love this. I love this so much. Remember Craig Counsell? Remember him? And how he surprised us by saying, no, I'm not going to stay with you. I'm not going to go to the Mets. I'm not going to go to all these other places. I'm going to the Cubs. Just ripped our hearts right out.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the first season, because it amazes me, but the Brewers and Cubs are already done playing for the year. The season series is done.
Yeah.
Which seems very bad scheduling from a division standpoint. That's a division foe, and there's no games in August or September. That's odd.
I thought we had at least – I remember I think it was Dan Schumacher, who joins us every Friday. I thought mm-hmm. he's – remember him talking about the fact that we played very quickly, and then we were done, and that's it.
We front loaded, you know, a lot of years. It's like, oh my God, we're playing the Cubs again in September.
Yeah.
You know, like two or three series in September. But no, we're all done. And the Brewers come away from it winning the season series 8-5. Take that,
yeah.
Craig Counsell. 8-5. Brewers take the season series. William Contreras hit a tie-breaking double in the ninth inning as the Brewers beat the Cubs on Wednesday 3-2. It started with Blake Perkins, who singled to lead off the ninth inning, and then Contreras one out later put a double into left center, scoring Perkins and giving your National League Central Division leaders another win. And then there's Christian Yelich, who's been put on the 10-day injured list because of inflammation in his lower back, and they're talking about the possibility that the All-Star outfielder will miss significant time. Exactly. So the Brewers are off today, and then they're back home for three this weekend against Miami, starting tomorrow for Yacht Rock Night, and then three against Atlanta early next week. So you can catch the game on some Civic Media stations against Miami tomorrow. 6:35 should be the pregame, 7:10 would be the first pitch. I don't know if you noticed on the video feed here, this is the first time I've worn this shirt in about a million years. It's for the Rotary Club of Grand Cayman, Grand Cayman Sunrise.
Look at that right there.
I know. It's like I was going through the closet, and I'm way in the back. I'm like, wait a minute. There's things here I haven't worn for a long, long time. And it's like, oh, yeah, this Rotary. I haven't been in a Rotary Club since 2016. And I'm looking forward to the day when I actually have time to think, time to breathe, and time to serve in something like a Rotary Club again, because I really enjoyed the work that that they've done here in the Chippewa Valley and also down there in Grand Cayman. And I have visited other Rotary Clubs. And certainly there's others as well. You know, there's Optimist Clubs and all the others that I would, you know, finding this shirt in my closet reminded me I haven't put in a pitch for any of these service organizations in a long time. So I want to tip my cap to everybody that plays a role in that. All right, let's get to President Biden and making that decision to withdraw from the 2024 race. He gave an address in the Oval Office last night, a short address, heartfelt. He, of course, alluded to, you know, the sense of history, the portraits of the presidents, you know, that are there, and you could feel it. You could feel like he really wishes that this wasn't what it is, but it is. He's 82. Like I like to say, something's come off his fastball, and that he understood in looking around at the White House that it was time to pass the torch, as he liked to put it. But in doing so, he offered a very vigorous defense of American democracy, spelling out in no uncertain terms the threat that is posed by former President Donald Trump, as well as all those who support him, who believe a lot of what he says, even when it's not true. So we've got a couple of different clips. Here he is talking about basically a lifetime of service to his country.
My fellow Americans, it's been the privilege of my life to serve this nation for over 50 years.
And he outlined all the things that he'd done and the things where he ticked off a long list of accomplishments. And he can do that because he had a long list of accomplishments. But then turned things to looking forward, because he is going to be president for another 6 months.
Well, in the next 6 months, I'll be focused on doing my job as president. That means I'll continue to lower costs for hardworking families, grow our economy. I'll keep defending our personal freedoms and our civil rights, from the right to vote to the right to choose.
He said nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy, and that includes personal ambition. He said, I revere this office, but I love my country more. Meanwhile, Trump was at a rally again, laying out baseless claims of voter fraud. He too has lost something off his fastball, and he continues to talk about things like, you know, Hannibal Lecter, and he says things that are outright lies about abortion. So when we come back after the break, I'm going to play at least one more clip from President Biden, a couple of clips from former President Trump, and then let you decide which one is the patriot and is worthy of your support, even if doing so means you're supporting his vice president now that he's not running for re-election this year. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Back after this. It was on this day in 2010, John Fogerty performed center field at the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, where he also donated to them a guitar shaped like a baseball bat. And it was on this day 25 years ago today, the kid, Robin Yount, made history as the first Milwaukee Brewer inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Not a lot of players start in the major leagues at 18. Even fewer go on to have a 20-year career, but he did. And you can read more about it in today's newsletter. Christina Laurie has a story about Robin Yount and his Hall of Fame career. You can sign up for that. And you can sign up for that newsletter at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. There's also an article today comparing Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde on reproductive rights. All right, back to our coverage of President Biden's speech. I think I've got one more clip that I want to share with you, and it's basically, well, he spent a lot of time, as I mentioned, talking about his accomplishments. He put forward a weighty list for the next 6 months. He said he would work to end the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. He would continue his fight to boost government support to cure cancer. By the way, Republicans this week in Congress voted against that, voted against increased funding to cure cancer. Just thought I'd throw that out as an aside. The president also talked about continuing to address climate change, and he pushed for Supreme Court reform, which I don't think has ever been done from the Oval Office before. Again, underscoring just how much in peril our democracy is by having an independent judiciary under attack the way that it is right now from our very own Supreme Court. But after talking about his own to-do list and his own accomplishments, he, of course, made great care to point out his endorsement of Vice President Kamala Harris and where he believes the country would best go from here.
I'd like to thank our great Vice President Kamala Harris. She's experienced. She's tough. She's capable. She's been an incredible partner to me and a leader for our country.
Biden said, I've given my heart and my soul to our nation. I have been blessed a million times in return. And what will probably be the money line from the speech, at least for this year, is the great thing about America is here, kings and dictators do not rule. The people do. History is in your hands. The power is in your hands. The idea of America lies in your hands. Unfortunately for us, a lot of those Americans think the future of America is going back to Donald Trump. And speaking at a rally last night, he gave a lot of the greatest hits. I think he joked again about sharks and electric boat motors. He again speaks at length about Hannibal Lecter, and I, honest to God, am not sure why. It doesn't seem to have a particular thread to it. It's one thing for Grandpa to go off on a tangent when he's telling a story, but when you do it every time, the same tangent every time, you wonder where this is all coming from. He told some of the same lies that he's told. I'll play one of those in a moment. But first, let me play the one that, again, in a normal world, the big news networks, the big newspapers would be leading with something like this if any other presidential candidate ever said that if it were up to him, he'd fire all the military generals, the ones who told him like he couldn't shoot fellow Americans and he couldn't drop a nuclear bomb into hurricanes. He'd fire all the generals. And honestly, he said this. He mused out loud about replacing them with race car owners and football coaches.
It's great. How you do it is amazing. It's so amazing. We should send you into, I've always said, get some of these guys. I have a lot of friends in that world. I don't know. I think, is it Roger Penske like a great guy too? Guy won, he won 20 Indianapolis 500s. This guy wins all the time. I mean, we appreciate talent. I said, let me use these guys to guide our military a little bit. When you can win so many races, that's okay, you know? You guide. Same thing with coaches. You take some of the greatest football coaches, you put them at a table. What do you like, coach? Because in its own way, it's not so much really different.
Yeah, it is. Yes, it's, Greg, back me up on this. It's different running the military than a race car or a football team.
I have never run a military, race car team, football team. I have all the confidence in the world to say they are all hard and all different and nothing like being a general. Okay.
Thank you.
I have spoken.
You have, and perfectly so, in a way we should all understand. But again, this is from folks who say government should be run like a business. No, it should not. They are completely different things. And what he used to say about Democrats writ large, he's now saying just about Kamala Harris, that she, like other Democrats, they claim execute babies. And I only play this so that you know it actually is happening, so that, again, when you're talking to a Trump supporter, you can tell them they're full of garbage. Here's the clip.
Wants abortions in the 8th and 9th month of pregnancy, that's fine with her, right up until birth, and even after birth, the execution of a baby, because that's not abortion, that's the execution of a baby.
Not true. Doesn't happen. When there is a late-term abortion, it is a tragedy for all concerned because there's some kind of medical anomaly. But Trump's going to continue to lie about it, and people are going to continue to believe it, so we're going to continue to call out the lie. Doesn't this all sound weird? You know, replacing generals with football coaches and lying about abortion and all the... Doesn't that seem weird? Listen to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. He's on the short list of being considered by Kamala Harris as a running mate because he's so refreshing and so candid, and he's so willing to call this kind of Republican rhetoric what it is, as he did in this MSNBC interview.
These are weird people on the other side. They want to take books away. They want to be in your exam room. That's what it comes down to. And don't, you know, get sugarcoating this. These are weird ideas. Listen to them speak. Listen how they talk about things. Listen to how your previous guests were right. Like you said, they've told them that they shouldn't talk about race. They can't help it. It is built into their DNA because there is no plan. There's no healthcare plan. There's no healthcare plan. There's nothing to do on this. They want to take away our alliances and leave Russia to do whatever they want. Look, they are bad on foreign policy. They are bad on the environment. They certainly have no healthcare plan. And they keep talking about the middle class that, as I said, a robber baron real estate guy and a venture capitalist trying to tell us they understand who we are. They don't know who we are.
They don't. It's so perfectly succinctly put.
Yeah, ever since I heard him say that, I just think of this one line very quick from Monty Python and the Life of Brian.
You're weird.
You are. And that's a great way of putting it too, with like real estate and venture capitalists. What do you know about us?
Yeah. Let's play this real quick. Here's a little 50-second clip. Eric Hovde talking about being a life coach, and then we'll talk to Joe Zepecki on the other side of the break about this.
Okay, this is my first segment
on
life, health, and happiness.
Okay.
As I said, when I introduced this, I said I would start with talking about two words, gratitude and perspective.
Oh, I wanted to be one
Gratitude has been studied by researchers, and they have found that happy people have one commonality. They're grateful. They have a lot of gratitude, thankfulness for what they have in their life. That may be their family that they have. It may be their friendships. It may be their job. It may be the beauty of planet Earth. It may be just breathing air. It's people that have gratitude and are thankful what they have radiate a greater level of joy and happiness.
You're weird.
Said the guy who grew up inheriting millions.
Yeah.
Built some up himself, no doubt, but had a heck of a head start along the way. Joe Zepecki is next. You're up north. Let's keep things rolling on this Thursday morning. Joe Zepecki joins us now. Joe, how are you?
Has anything happened since we talked last week?
Since we did? No, nothing much, only everything.
Hmm.
And I think it's still being digested. As I've said, this thing could have gone kittywampus so many different ways if other people had declared or if just a whole host of things. And instead, you've got the vice president with enough delegates to basically lock up the nomination. Not something I would have definitely predicted with any great certainty, given the way the party had looked for the past month. And yet, you feel as well the weight that seems to have come off everybody's shoulders to the left side of the aisle.
Yeah, no question. I think we should start with Joe Biden. And maybe the most selfless act in American political history. Someone who sought the presidency for, 50 years throughout a life of public service, making the decision to willingly step aside and not be shoved aside, but understanding that his time had passed. It's a remarkable thing. Joe Biden has cemented his legacy. To me, the question is when the Democratic Party starts naming some of their dinners after him. It's not a question of if, because this is the leadership, the legacy, serving as a vice president, a number two to the first black president, now stepping away and yielding the baton to a black woman who I believe will be our first black woman president and first woman president. I mean, like, it's just this is the stuff of fables,
legends,
and legends.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary, and I loved Joe Biden on Saturday, and on Sunday I was just in awe of him.
And not to mention, people are also, as they talk about his legacy, bringing back that Meet the Press clip when he was asked about same-sex marriage, mm-hmm. and where he got ahead of his own administration on this. And instead of getting taken to the woodshed, you had Barack Obama and everybody else saying, Yeah, that's actually where we are. Somebody had to say it first. Thank you, Joe, for doing that. The man's political instincts have always been top shelf.
Yeah, and so now we've got a sprint to the finish. I too was expecting an outpouring of support for the vice president. I was expecting a renewed dose of enthusiasm whenever Biden made the decision. I was not expecting this degree of it. The mm-hmm. overwhelming outpouring of support, the enthusiasm has been greater than I anticipated in ways that are really exciting and that fundamentally reshape the next 100 and few days.
Right. And look, I don't mind that we're only talking about, you know, literally 102 days or so, because, again, you see this in plenty of other countries. You know, we talk about the UK all the time. They have just 6 weeks of election cycles. Canada does the same thing. You know, we can do a 15-week cycle. It's a lot more enjoyable than one that lasts for 3 years and 364 days.
We've all been saying we want shorter election cycles. Here we go.
Here we go. And so,
and luckily, the right and the Trump campaign, they're taking all of this, you know, totally chill, totally cool, totally normal.
Oh, yeah, they're totally normal. They're just totally, oh, my goodness. They cannot come up with a coherent message. And when they do find one, it will be rooted in, you know, meanness and inaccuracies. But we'll see what they do. You can't. They don't have much to work with given her first rally address, because it was in West Allis, Wisconsin, and it only lasted 18 minutes, Joe, which means that's 80 minutes less than the other guy. So she couldn't talk about being electrocuted by electric boat motors and sharks.
She never got to fictional cannibals or any of the greatest hits.
No, and so there's not nearly as much material to work with. There were only, you know, solid positions on reproductive rights and on health care and on things like that. Things that Joe seemed to be making a connection right away. Even when she talked about gun violence, she hit the things that have 80% approval, bipartisan approval.
Universal background checks, red flag laws.
All of those things.
Yep.
Yep. She knows what Americans want. And it appears that the Republicans might actually have to propose some ideas, and rather than just try to run against her, it's not working so far for them.
No, they don't. Well, they don't have very many policy ideas. They were running a strongmen campaign because they are a new 21st century American version of authoritarianism, which is mm-hmm. very scary. They thought this was going to be strength versus weakness, and now they have the candidate who is the oldest nominee in American history in Donald Trump, who can barely put three sentences together that make sense, certainly could not stand at a podium after a NATO conference and give an hour-long discourse on global security and geopolitics in the way that Joe Biden did. And now Democrats have someone who can prosecute the case. This is a former prosecutor who, as she explained, knows people like Donald Trump, because she has been, you know, with them in courtrooms and locking some of them up when she started her career as a local prosecutor. She can prosecute the case. I would rather have the prosecutor than the perpetrator. That's a message that she can deliver that reminds voters that he has been convicted of 34 felonies, that he botched the response to COVID, drove the nation's economy into the ditch, and is a recipe for global instability, which is terrible for the economy, not to mention for our allies and partners around the world. And she's ready to go, and she's ready to do that. And so what you're seeing is people on the right just flail from one misogynist comment to one racist comment and back. They don't know what to do because they had not built the contingency plan, which is pretty remarkable.
Well, and they're going to, as they keep looking for what's going to land, probably keep coming back to, you know, California liberal, San Francisco liberal, whatever the case may be. But again, if it's an economic argument, then the Biden-Harris administration is going to win that. And if it's an immigration argument, because they like to say that, you know, one of her early roles as vice president was to do something about, you know, Central American immigration. Well, again, you've got Trump killing a bipartisan border bill. So, I'm going to ask in all seriousness, what will stick? What Republican attack will stick that doesn't have an immediate counter from some Republican failing?
I'm not sure. I really am not. They are really in a tough box. And part of the reason they are in a tough box is that the work ahead over the next 100 days is not necessarily to build a pro-Kamala Harris coalition big enough to win an election. What Kamala Harris's job is over the next 100 and few days is to rebuild an anti-Trump coalition that was big enough to stop him from winning a second term in 2020, and that got bigger, that anti-Trump coalition got bigger after January 6th and the Trump plot to prevent the peaceful transfer of power. And it got bigger still after the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe versus Wade due to the fact that Trump appointees gave the far right exactly what they wanted. And that anti-Trump coalition is big enough to win this election. It was cracking because of concerns about Joe Biden's ability to do the job he's been doing for another 4 years. There is no deep-seated misgiving about the policies that he has championed, about a pro-worker, pro-union agenda, about a pro-democracy agenda, about a pro-healthcare agenda. There's not concerns about any of that. And the reason we know that is all of the polls showed all of the battleground states where there are Senate contests, the Democratic senators who have been supporting that agenda every step of the way and making this great American comeback possible were running way ahead of Joe Biden. I mean, from 5 to 15 points, depending on the state. And so that is part of the challenge that the Trump campaign now faces. This is no longer going to be a referendum on the question of, is Joe Biden too old? It is going to be a referendum on Donald Trump and the chaos and the division and the destructive nature that he is versus an alternative who meets the qualifications of the job, can do the job, and is a, you know, ordinary Democrat in almost every way, except for to people who view her as the extraordinary leader she is. And you can count me in that second group of people who think that she is just an incredible woman. She reminds me a lot of my mom, I think, is part of my longtime affinity for the vice president. But she doesn't have to be that to everybody. She just has to be not Trump and able to do the job. And she will pass that bar with aplomb.
Do you see any possibility of a repeat of 2016 where the woman running against Trump looks to be so strong and so qualified that some people stay home because they think it's in the bag, and other people stay home because they might have seen one or two Trump ads about Kamala Harris and say, yeah, I guess I'm not really sure about her, because that was essentially what happened in 2016. Has everybody learned their lesson, or is there still that margin for failure?
I think everyone has learned their lesson. And I think that that's part of the reason the answer is no. Everyone has learned their lesson. Kamala Harris is not someone that the right has been running against for 20 years, which was the case in Hillary Clinton. And I think in 2016, a lot of people thought that Trump couldn't win, including people who voted for him. Were like, well, I don't really like the Clintons. Trump can't win. Ah, whatever. It's just as a lark. I don't think his coalition includes many larkers anymore, because they've seen what that vote hath wrought. And so I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about getting the message out and continuing to remind the American people, particularly younger voters, what's at stake, including a couple of Supreme Court seats, because some of these justices are getting up there. And if you want Donald Trump's appointees to control the Supreme Court for the next 40 years, that's what's at stake. The restoration of Roe v. Wade, the continuation of our democracy, the ways to strengthen it and expand it to include more people and to ensure our elections are safe and fair. That's all what's on the line. And I think young, old, white and black and brown and everything in between, people are going to hear that message, going to understand what's at stake. And now we've got something to ride with from my side of the aisle.
All right. Well, let's conclude with the summer series that's going to be must-watch viewing on screens this summer. And I don't mean the Paris Olympics starting tomorrow. I, of course, mean, as Eric Hovde put it, episode one of my new series focused on life, health, and happiness. Taking a dive in this first episode into two very important words, gratitude and perspective. Joe, will you be watching these episodes of Life, Health, and Happiness with Eric Hovde?
I will only be watching them for professional purposes. I am here to tell you that I have seen some very weird things in my time working in American politics. I don't know that I've seen anything weirder than this. And I don't know that I've seen anything like just odder than someone wearing at least hundreds, if not thousands of dollars shirt outside, talking about his outdoor meals at his $2.5+ million second home in Madison, who owns a $3 billion bank in California where his first home is that's worth over $7 million. And what he needs to feel gratitude is to see a medevac chopper with an ordinary Wisconsinite fighting for their life. And that's what he needs to change his perspective and to feel gratitude. I've never seen a campaign so intent on putting a lack of empathy for other people or understanding of the human condition out there. This is weird. It blares, tell me you're from California without telling me you're from California energy.
Oh yeah, very
and
new age.
I can't wait to see what happens next because it's the cringe train wreck you cannot look away from.
And it is for that perspective that we feel gratitude for Joe Zepecki. Joe, thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
You too, man. Bye-bye.
We will have today's history lesson coming up in just a moment. This is Up North News Radio from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Up North News Radio's history lesson, which often begins with classical music and often ends with moldy pans of lasagna, but that's yet to come. It was on this day in 1788 that Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart completed his Symphony No. 40 in G minor. And like all other classical music bits, everything I know about it, I learned from Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah. I want to love classical music. I just can't tell any, like, oh, I love, it's the part in C major with the blah. I'm like, come on, man. Can we just put some fog hat on?
Or like I said, have Tom and Jerry chasing each other around a piano.
There you go.
Then I'll listen. It'll be great. Folks who are young might not know that MTV once played a lot of music, and the Learning Channel once had educational programs on TLC, and ESPN used to just run sports highlights before it was just a bunch of talking heads. And the Sports Center jocks, you know, the announcers, they were big deals. They had catchphrases, they were big. And on this day in 1995, they were so big, ESPN released its own chart-topping CD called Jock Jams. You get all these stadium anthems and then some old Sports Center catchphrases. He could go all the way. En fuego.
I hate this video so much.
Oh, let's see. So, yeah, Jock Jams. Big deal on this day in 1995.
big deals.
It was a big deal. It was Stars on 45 for ESPN. There. Now people of my age really get it. The debut single by the Monkees was recorded at RCA Studios in Los Angeles on this day in 1966. Are these the Monkees? Not really. Like all of their early songs, the group doesn't play on the record because they weren't that good at instruments yet.
Yeah.
The only monkey on the track is Mickey Dolenz, who's doing the vocals.
That's good enough for me.
That's right. On this day in 1959, 13-year-old Dolly Parton made her debut at the Grand Ole Opry. She was introduced by Johnny Cash, and she sang a George Jones song, You Gotta Be My Baby. She was so good, she got 3 encores. That's what would be called a harbinger. Yeah. Let's see. 1970, there was a new number one hit. It would be on the top of the charts for 4 straight weeks. The number one song this day in 1970 was by the Carpenters.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time?
No electric instruments there. You know, you don't have to go electric. But it was on this day in 1965 at the Newport Folk Festival that Bob Dylan played an electric set for the first time. Folk music fans everywhere were beside themselves.
Freaked.
How dare you? Stick to acoustic stuff here like the Carpenters. On this day in 1973, the Doobie Brothers released this song with a funky little name for a little town that they thought they'd made up. So the story here is that lead singer Tom Johnson wasn't sure where he got the name when he was writing the song. He's like, China Grove, that sounds like a cool little name. Thought maybe he made it up. Maybe he dreamed of it. He doesn't know. Later found out the tour bus, I mean, they were going everywhere.
Yeah.
And at one point, the tour bus passed right through the very real, very small town of China Grove, Texas. So there was such a place. He just couldn't actually remember being there. That'd be like somebody saying, "Oh, I made up a town called Chippewa Falls."
Yeah,
it was in Tommy Boy. The sign was right there in Tommy. Oh, that's where I saw it. Never mind. Never mind. The number one song on the R&B charts this day in 1992 was by Mary J. Blige. Louise Joy Brown, 46 years old today. 46 years ago today, on this day in 1978, she was the first human to have been born after conception by in vitro fertilization, or IVF. Brand new this day in 1978. A marvel of science has brought joy to countless families, and now there are some politicians who want to rip that all away. Never thought that Louise Brown's birthday would become something more than just a passing mention on the calendar, but now it has actual political implications. On the National Day calendar today, I mean, we got the full menu here for today. Today is National Chili Dog Day. Today is National Hot Fudge Sunday Day. And today is Wine and Cheese Day.
My goodness.
I know. There's just a lot going on here. You could just fill up on today and then go on a carousel because it's National Carousel Day.
But Pat.
Yes.
What else is it?
Oh, let me tell you, our listeners are awesome. This one from Michael on Facebook. Good morning, Pat and Greg. We are fully aware of lasagna. We had it earlier this week and leftovers tonight. I love my job. I love this show.
You said you were going to eat the leftovers, but you said you were going to. Now it's half a pan has gone to waste.
I've actually been looking up now which molds you can eat and which molds you can't, because what if the lasagna gets moldy? Because you can eat moldy cheese, but that's not the same as the cheese that's in your lasagna pan if that were to get moldy. And this is what happens when you give your name, you give your month a dumb name like Lasagna Awareness Month.
Yeah.
And we end up talking about it for 31 freaking days. But Robin Tigerton puts on Facebook, well, now I'm hungry for lasagna. That was probably before we started talking about the mold.
We all are, Rob. We all are.
Yep. Oh, trust me. The end of this week can't come soon enough. National Carousel Day, like I said. This is National Hire a Veteran Day. This is National Intern Day. Do we have any interns at Civic Media?
I think we do up in Madison.
We have a summer intern at Up North News. Name is Jake. I think his name is Jake. Now I got to go look it up.
Oh my God!
I call them all Nigel. I'm just like, I'm never going to learn your name, and so here you're just
can't remember a name.
Oh no, not especially at my age. It's only gotten worse. I mean, so many interns, they come and they go, and it's hard at my age. Okay. See how I'm playing the age card now?
All right. Okay.
Rob saying crockpot lasagna is the way to go.
Oh.
All right. We'll get Rob's weather update from Tigerton and Brittany.